Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, in the 25th chapter of Acts, the Apostle Paul, who we all know, was arrested. And he was arrested under false charges. And so he appealed to Caesar. He asked for a lawyer. He asked for Joe. But he was sent to Rome. And in chapter 27, we find in the story there that they set sail for Rome, and they were going on this trip. And this trip turned into quite an experience. And this is where I want to open up right here, reading for a little bit in Acts chapter 27, verse 13. It says, "When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. But before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along. And as we passed to the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. When the men had hoisted it aboard, they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, fearing that they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved." Have you ever felt like that? Like you were in some kind of situation where it seemed like there was absolutely no way out, and where you could not see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it seemed like all hope was lost? No vision for the future, no plans, no hope for the future. And in the natural, it looked like they were finished. Even Paul gave up hope. He's the one who said, "We finally gave up all hope of being saved." But then it says in there that later that night, Paul had a visitor. And the visitor totally changed his perspective about everything that was going on. And he no longer put his hope in the strength of the ship. He was filled with hope from God. It's just like we can't put our hope in the government. We can't put our hope in our political. But now I urge you to keep up your courage. This was an angel that God had sent. This was Paul talking to the men, but this is why he was telling them this. "But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me.'" He put his hope in God. They went on for 14 days. You imagine that? 14 days in a kind of a storm where at every moment you thought, this is the end. Every wave that would come at you, blowing over the ship, I mean, you're thinking, this is it, we're going down. The ship's falling apart. Everything just seems to be going crazy. They're throwing everything overboard. They did everything they could to keep the ship afloat. And at a certain point, they were ready to throw the food overboard. Their food. They hadn't eaten for 14 days, and now they were going to throw their food overboard. That's how hopeless the situation seemed. They didn't know what else to do. And so it says in there, in the scripture, that Paul prayed to God. He blessed the food and gave thanks to God in front of all the men. He wanted the men to see who he was praying to, who he was giving thanks to, because he put his hope in God. And he still believed that even though the ship may sink, they were all going to be safe. If you know your Bible, then you know that they were, in fact, all saved. And they ended up on this island by the name of Malta, where they were actually well taken care of, and good things happened there. In fact, the island was converted to Christianity. Isn't that a nice coincidence? I bet the people on that boat never forgot that terrible trip. Can you believe, can you imagine that, having to go through that? And I'm sure for the rest of their life, that story was told by everyone on that ship hundreds of times, because they were lost. And they were believing that they had lost all hope. In Ephesians 2:12, we're told to remember a time when we were, it says, separate from Christ, without hope, and without God in the world. So see, there was a time in our lives where we were just as hopeless, and in fact, more hopeless than their situation. Whether we realized it or not, and many of us didn't, our situation was truly hopeless because we were without God in the world. At this point in my life, I couldn't imagine living without God. I couldn't imagine, having a life where God was not involved in it. I mean, there would be absolutely no hope whatsoever then. Without hope, there's no desire to go forward. Without hope, there's no desire to advance. In fact, there's really not much desire for anything when we've lost our hope. Have you ever felt like that? Weak, tired, weary, discouraged, without hope of ever coming to a better place, just feeling like, I'm just stuck, man, I'm lost, this is it, this is my life, this is the way it's always going to be. If you've ever felt that way, or maybe if you even feel that way right now, there is help. I'm here to tell you today, there is help. In Isaiah chapter 40, there's a famous scripture that many of us have read, and you'll hear it right now. 40:28-31, Isaiah. It says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary." Sebastian, you get tired sometimes? Did you get tired on that field playing football? Did you get tired sometimes? It tells us right there, even youth, even young people, they get tired and weary. When you get a little bit older, it happens a lot easier, doesn't it? Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. And they will walk and not be faint. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. God wants to help us. He literally died to help us. He knows that we got tough times. God's word tells us that we can do all things through Christ Jesus
who gives us strength. We have to put our hope in Him. We have to make Him our hope. The hope that I'm talking about is a lot more important than we realize. Sometimes we don't really think that much about it, having a hope. It's not wishful thinking. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, I hope I win the lottery. I hope somebody, you know, buys me this gift I want. I hope I get, you know, this raise, or I hope I get that. That's just like wishful thinking. I'm talking about wishes. I'm talking about a different kind of hope. Romans 5:5 tells us that this hope does not disappoint us. This hope does not disappoint us. This hope that God is talking about in His Word is a confident expectation of things that are coming. That we can be confident in it because God has said it. It causes us to look ahead with eager expectation because we are confident. It is always an expectation of future good. Where does this hope come from? Well, the type of hope that I'm talking about can only come from one place, and that comes from God Himself. Romans 15:13 calls Him the God of hope. The God of hope. Our Father in heaven, the God of hope. Our hope should always turn our attention to God. See, when we put our hope in Him, then that's who we begin longing after. That's who we begin desiring after. That's who we begin, you know, wishing for, if you want to say that kind of word. Thinking about. Our focus should not be on the things of this world or things in general, but on God. On His will, on His kingdom. We put our hope in Him. Our relationship with God is the ultimate grounds of all the hope that we can have, because God is the source of our hope. God's desire is to fill our hearts with His hope. His desires. He wants to give us plans. He wants to give us a future. And He wants to enable us to get hold of the vision that He has for us. In Jeremiah 29:11, I'm sure we've all heard the scripture. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. A hope, something to look forward to. Something to run after. Something to desire, something to build our dreams on, to build our imaginations on, to look forward to think about, to expect. That's what God wants us to have. God wants us to know that He has tremendous plans for us. He has a tremendous future in store for us. But this future hope has to be rooted and grounded in our relationship with God. We have to have this relationship with God. It has to be real for this hope to be real. How do we get hold of this hope? By getting hold of Jesus. 1 Peter 1:3, He's the means, the reason that we're able to have this hope. 1 Peter 1:3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It was through the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that this hope is even possible for us. If Jesus hadn't come down, if he hadn't left his Godhood behind and came down and became a man for our sake, if he hadn't gone to that cross, if he hadn't died as a man, a perfect, sinless man, if he hadn't become the ultimate sacrifice and shed his blood, if he hadn't gone through all of that, we never would have had any hope. We'd have been without God and without hope in a dark and senseless world. Because of our Father's great mercy, we were born into this living hope. We were born again through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's a living hope because it's centered on a living God. So this hope is alive. It's a living hope for those who are alive in Christ. A person who is spiritually dead, they don't have this hope. They can't have this hope. They can't, and in fact, they can't not only, they can't possess it, they can't even comprehend it. They'll never have the hope. Somebody who is dead in the Spirit cannot have the hope that someone who is alive in the Spirit can have. Proverbs 11:7 says, "When a wicked man dies, his hope perishes. All he expected from his power comes to nothing." That's sad, isn't it? But this hope that we possess goes beyond the grave because it's an eternal hope centered in an eternal God. When a Christian dies, when we die, our hope doesn't perish. When we die, our hope is fulfilled. Totally different. Totally different. See, people of the world have false hopes. They have false dreams. They have false expectations. And they build their life on what they can gather and gain and the power and the goods that they can amass, the fortunes that they can have. Maybe even sometimes they do good works and they do nice things. But without God, without the gift of salvation that God has offered to us, which was also offered to them, as it says here, when that man dies, his hope perishes. When a Christian dies, as I said, excuse me, still getting over a little bit of laryngitis, we will no longer be tied to this body of sin. That's something to hope for right there, isn't it? We're going to have a new body, a spiritual body, a supernatural body with supernatural abilities. And there will no longer be any pain, any tears, any sickness, any suffering, no longer any death. Now, that's something to hope for. I don't know about you, but I get back pain sometimes. You know, you get this kind of pain, you get a headache, you get a cold, you get this or that, and you get worn out. You got to do the ups and downs. You know, you got to do all these different things that sometimes you just get plain worn out. You lose things. You know, you lose people, you lose friends, tears come. There's different things that we go through. Jesus says we're going to go through problems. But once we have that new body, once our hope is fulfilled, that's all done. And that's something to hope for. I want that hope. And our hope, as I said, it's not wishful thinking. We're not playing a lottery wondering if we're going to go to heaven. We have a confident expectation because our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Our hope is certain. As long as we remain in Christ, nothing can stop our hope from being fulfilled. But even now, we are being changed on this earth, in this body. Even now, we are being changed from glory to glory. Our hope is not limited to an eternity that begins at death. Our eternity began when we entered into a relationship with Christ. That eternity, that eternity that is filled with hope, already started. God's already doing good things in our life. You know, we can't just wait and wait to be taken away. That's not why, you know, why we got saved. It's not just to be hurry up and you know, die and get out of here. God's got all kinds of good things in store for us now. There's things now on this earth that we can look forward to in Christ. In Him, we live and move and have our being. That's in Acts 17:28. So how do we do it? How do we walk in this hope? Romans 15:13 gives us a clue. And there he says, may the God of hope, there it is again, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the what? What do you think? Anybody got an idea? The Holy Spirit. Once again, our best friend on this earth, the Holy Spirit, is the one. It's funny how we see the Trinity played out over and over. The hope that we have is in God. The hope that we are able to get, we're able to get that hope, is because of what Jesus did. And the hope that we are filled with, we're filled with it through the Holy Spirit. That's how God works. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Does that sound pretty hopeful to you? See, I want to give you hope today, because I know that everybody in here is going through something in your life right now where you're having a rough time. Every one of you. I don't think is there anybody in here that has no problems? Anybody? Everything is going perfect. There's no area you're discouraged in. We've all got discouragements. We've all got heartaches. We've all got things that go on in our life. And sometimes it seems like you don't just have one, but here comes another one sliding in from over here, and then another one, and then another one. Before you know it, you're thinking, man, I don't know if I can handle this. And that's what this is where I want to bring you today, to the place where God says, I want to give you hope. And He doesn't want us to just have a little bit of hope. It says here that He wants us to overflow with hope. Be overflowing with hope. And the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to give us the power to walk in this hope from God. This world that we live in has so much tragedy, so much despair, so much hopelessness. It's all around us. And God wants His people to be a people of hope, so we could bring the message of hope to a desperate world, to a desperate people. There are so many people that you know, that are without hope right now. They feel like they're just waiting until it's done. Waiting until it's over. They can't wait to get out of here. Or they're just living in their misery and just don't care anymore. Those people need to know that there's hope. Hope for a better life on this earth. And according to God's word, The hope that we have for the future is so great that it tells us in God's word that we couldn't even ask or imagine what God has in store for those who love him. We can't even begin to think of what God's got planned for us. He's got so many good things waiting for us. That's something to hope for. Remember when Jesus was leaving the earth? And his disciples, they were filled with sorrow. They were filled with despair. They thought it was all done. Now our Savior's gone. Oy vey, what are we going to do? We're lost. We wasted 3 years. I don't even know where my ship is anymore. My nets are all rotted. I don't know what to do. I gave up everything. I followed him. Now he leaves me. He's gone. I got no hope anymore. That's what they thought. Even though Jesus told them so many things, even though he taught them for years, it was so bad that Peter even denied knowing Jesus. That's how bad it got. They all went into hiding. But then something happened. Jesus promised them that there was going to be a gift that was going to come to them, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he told them where to go, where to wait. And sure enough, the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. And all of a sudden, because the Holy Spirit came in and empowered them and filled them with this overflowing hope, everything changed. From despair and fear, their lives were filled with purpose, with joy, with hope, faith, love, all the good things. Because they knew now that everything that Jesus had said was true. They knew now that their hope was certain because Jesus proved it. They saw him come back from the dead. That's what our faith rests upon, is that there is life after death. We will be restored after death. This is not the end. There is a purpose to life. Right now, this world is teaching us that there is no purpose to life. Your children are learning in school. There is no purpose to life. We're just animals. We're just a product of some experiment, something that just happened in the earth, some way of form of evolution. We just appeared out of nowhere. That's basically what it says in the evolution. And if that were true, which thank God it isn't, but if that were true, that would mean that there is absolutely no purpose for anything. That our life is a total waste. It just, you live, do what you want to do while you're alive. When you die, you die. And that's not the way it is. And it was proven through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And not only was it proven that he came back and hundreds of people saw him, but that was even prophesied. All aspects of his life were prophesied hundreds of years before he even came. That Bible was already written down. The Old Testament was already written down. All those prophecies were already there and they were fulfilled. The odds were impossible. No, it couldn't happen unless it was all true. Unless somebody knew what was going to happen, like somebody like God. So I'm just laying it out because I want you to know that our hope is certain. I don't want you to ever doubt the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. There are so many competing faiths out there. This world is filled with theologies and doctrines and faiths and gods, little g's. And they're all false. And we're not just one of many. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. There's one way. There's only one truth. And that will bring us life. And our hope in that is certain.
It says in John 14:26, but the Counselor, this is that gift I was talking about, the Holy Spirit. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. So when those men were in despair, and then they got filled with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, they were reminded of all the things. Don't you remember when he said this? Do you remember when he said that? Now I see what it means. They began to see it. All of a sudden, it all began to make sense. We're fortunate. We don't have to study for years and then finally get the Holy Spirit. We got the Holy Spirit already. We can read and study the Word of God, and it makes sense to us already if we put some time into it. And as we begin to study God's Word, and the Holy Spirit begins to reveal the truth of God's Word to us, what happens is our hope begins to grow. It begins to fill us up. We begin to overflow with hope. The Holy Spirit is going to lead us into all truth. He's going to comfort us. He's going to encourage us. And He's going to fill us to overflowing. There's a scripture, I don't remember now, I think it's Ephesians 5:18, but I'm not sure. It says that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is in the present perfect tense, which means to be being filled on a continuous basis. And when we are being filled over and over and over with the Holy Spirit, then also the Holy Spirit is bringing in that power, bringing in that truth, bringing in that encouragement, bringing in that life, and filling us to overflowing with hope. We have to allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit of God so we can walk in that hope, so that we can walk towards that hope, so that we can walk through that hope, get all involved in that. God wants us to be a people who are filled with hope. Not only is it good for us, but then we become a light to the world. We become a light to the world. Always, we start always looking for the best in people. We start seeing God in every situation. We're always expecting then that God has a greater thing, greater things in store for us. And He does. That the best is yet to come. Why do we have to think that we've already, all the good has already been got? You know, when you get discouraged, that's the way you feel. When you have no hope, when you feel lost without hope, you feel like it's all over. God wants us to know that the best is yet to come. I don't care if you're 80 years old, there's still the best is yet to come. Or 90. Or 99, like Alex's grandmother. The best is yet to come when we're in Christ. Because there's things yet that we can't even begin to explain. We can't even understand at this point. We wouldn't even know how to ask for them or hope for them. But our God, who understands us because He created us, knows exactly what will give us the most fulfillment, the most pleasure, the most joy, the most peace, all these things combined. And He's up there, wait till they see it. Wait till they see it. You ever get that way when you want to give somebody a gift and you think you got just the right gift for them? And you start thinking about, you just can't wait. You're looking. You want to see them open the gift because you want to see them, expecting. You want to see them hoping to enjoy that gift. That's how God is with us. He loves to bless us. He loves to bless us. And I know that for a fact when it tells us that He's got things in store for us that we can't even begin to imagine or ask for. That tells me, and it tells us He's preparing a place for us up in heaven. I mean, He's doing things. He's getting things ready for us. He's preparing the supper, the wedding, feast of the Lamb. And He's got all this stuff He's getting ready for us.
Our hope should be in Him. We need to put our hope in God and trust in Him. Because the more we trust in God, the greater our hope will be. There's no hope that God inspires in us that He cannot or will not satisfy. If God is filling us with this hope through the Holy Spirit, and He's putting this hope in us, then God's going to satisfy that hope. God wants to give us the desires of our heart. That's a quote from Scripture. But first we need to make sure that God is the Lord of our heart. It all works together. Even in the midst of tragedies, if our hope is in God, we won't be overcome. We know that we're going to have problems. John 16:33, Jesus tells us that. But He also said in the same scripture, immediately after that, in this world you will have problems, but, He says but, and that but's important there because then there's something else coming after that that's going to answer this thing about the problems. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome this world. What He's saying is, put your hope in Me. Because I can overcome anything that you got going that you don't like, anything that's hard on you. Jesus is saying, put your hope in Me. God wants us to soar on wings like eagles, to not be faint, to not be weary, but instead to renew our strength in Him. And that promise is for those who put their hope in the Lord. It's a promise for you and me. It's our promise. The promise that God has made to us. Our hope from God is not going to pass away. We can't put our hope in anything in this world because everything in this world is passing away. It is. Everything in this world is passing away. There's nothing that we can hold on to in this world. I bet a lot of you have seen your investments, your pension, your things like if you got IRAs or 401s, you saw them like drifting downward over this last decade. Values of our homes have gone down. That was never going to happen, right? Those were going to get more and more valuable every year. That's what we were promised, right? And what happened? Mine's still at about half its former value. I can't hold on to that. I can't hold on to that. I mean, I can't put my hope in that. I have to put my hope in God. This world is passing away along with all the hopes and dreams of this world. But our hope, the hope we have in God, our hope from God, will never pass away. It will not disappoint. It will not diminish in value. It's certain. Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. There's a lot of scriptures about hope. When we face the storms of life, just like Paul faced those storms on the ocean, when we face the storms and the wind and the waves are blowing all around us and it seems like, man, we're going to sink. We need to remember that we have this hope from God as an anchor for our soul. And just like Paul in the story we read at the beginning, they went through the storm, but God protected them. They lost the boat, but God saved every single one of them. And in the end, God was glorified through the whole episode. Because not only were they saved, but the people of that island ended up getting to know Jesus Christ, and they were saved. And as long as we put our hope in God, our hope is safe, just like that anchor. anything less than God, anything that we put our hope in that is less than God, is risky. Mutual funds are risky. Treasury bonds are risky. Cash is risky. Homes are risky. Families are risky. Friends are risky. Everything's risky except God. Hebrews 10:23, and this is my last scripture, says, "Let us hold unswervingly." Unswervingly. In other words, don't veer away at all. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. Can I have the prayer team come forward? I want you to be honest with yourself and think for a moment about what have you put your hope in? College degree? New car? Nice home? Marriage? I mean, all those things are wonderful. They're great things. But they are not our salvation. They are not what's going to make our life. See, that's the difference. Money in the bank is a great thing. I think every one of you should have that. A nice home, you should have that. A nice car, you should have that. And I believe God wants you to have those things. A good family, good children, great. You should have those things. A good spouse, you should have that. A good job, I believe God wants you to have a good job. But you can't put your hope in those things to make your life complete, to fulfill your life. Those are like sort of like the icing on the cake. But the substance of our hope is God Himself. Our relationship with Christ. Our hope needs to be in Him. And we always got to remember that. Let's close in prayer. Father, we want to thank You. We want to thank You that You have given us this overflowing hope. Because of Your mercy, You have poured out this hope through the work of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. You have given us this hope. And Lord, we trust in You. We know that You are the God of hope and that You have decided, You have ordained that we, Your people, should have this hope. And we receive from You right now a filling up of hope. Lord, I pray that we would be filled to overflowing with hope from God right now. God, I know there are many people in here today worried about their situation, worried about their families, worried about their children, worried about their country, worried about their jobs, worried about their friends. And Lord, I pray that we would put our hope and our trust in You, because You're the answer, Lord God. Lord, we need to seek You, find You, to hear from You, to know what to do in these situations. Lord, I pray that we would reach out to You and hear from You what we should do in every one of those situations so that we might put our hope in You again. Fill us up with this hope. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.